start?
Yes.
I'm going to be, I think you will have a break right now because my things will be much simpler than what Jor has been talking about today. So I'm going to talk about a tiny corner of the V column. So we have U mapping into V, projecting onto W, and we have topology, combinatorics, low and high algebra. I'm going to be here, except I'm doing the sort of simplest thing possible here. Okay, so there is a quotient from V to what I'm doing, which is called flat V, and there's a splitting map back into just a corner, sort of a subset of V, which is very simple, which is just combinatorics. There won't be much topology, it will be mostly combinatorics. Okay. And hopefully I can mention that there exists actually a universal finite type invariance between my two spaces. Okay, so I think our whole master class has been sort of trying to tell us why we should study virtual and W. But just to recall, virtual knots generalize classical knots, and in fact, classical knots inject into virtual knots, so it's a strictly bigger class of objects. And maybe you can ask Jor about this tomorrow, but more interestingly, any quantum invariants that come from R matrices actually extend to virtual knots, or at least a variant of virtual knots. And so we think that these invariants have their natural domain. Maybe it's not usual knots, maybe it's virtual knots. Okay. So quickly, we will define virtual knots again. Usual knots are defined combinatorially by knot diagrams modulo randomized relations, and knot diagrams are planar directed graphs with special tetravalent vertices, which are the crossings. We all know about this. And the relations we have is, of course, the randomizer 1, 2, and 3. Virtual knots are exactly what I just said, except we just forget about the word planar. So it's directed graphs with just crossings as its vertices. The crossings are still have the combinatorial information that locally it should be sit on the plane. Okay. And so two virtual knots diagrams, here are two equivalent virtual knot diagrams because I have the same crossings, and the only difference between these two diagrams is the fact that I have drawn this connection on the plane like this, and I've drawn the other connection like this, but if I just consider them as a graph, it doesn't matter. And clearly, my graph doesn't have to be planar, and so there are these artifacts called virtual crossings, like here, because I just forcefully draw this non-planar graph on the plane. And of course, then virtual knot diagrams modulo these Rademeister moves, again looked at as just graphs and not planar graphs. So a side comment is that actually virtual knot diagrams is in correspondence to signed arrow diagrams, which are called Gauss diagrams. Gauss diagrams. Because, well, I can encode the information of a crossing by, well, drawing the tooth skeleton strand, and then put a solid, this is not sort of the semi-virtual, this is the Gauss diagram, and put an arrow in between these two skeleton, and the direction of the arrow will denote which one is over and which one is under, and then I also have a positive or negative crossing. So if I talk about long virtual knot diagrams, then in fact the knot diagrams are exactly the virtual knot diagrams are exactly in one-to-one correspondence with diagrams that looks like this. Okay, and so So we have established that virtual knot diagrams are in one-to-one correspondence with these arrow sign diagrams, and we modulo by the same relations. We write randomizer relations in this language and model by it. Okay, so this is just another way to see virtual knots. It's exactly Gauss diagrams, modulo randomizer relations drawn as Gauss diagrams. So maybe I'll just, so for example, R2 in Gauss diagram language would be exactly, I don't orient this, so would be exactly, so this is plus minus. So these are my Gauss chords. This is a skeleton strand. So I would modulo this space by this kind of relations for R2. And then similarly for R3. Okay, so if we take the quotient of overcrossings commute, we get W. Now, my subject is much easier. I want to ask, how much bigger is virtual knots than usual knots? And so I want to find a quotient in which all usual knots belong to the same equivalence class and see what is left over. And so this quotient is essentially, well, I have real crossing, so I mod by over equals under. Okay. And in fact, I'm interested in flat virtual long knot. It is very important that it is long knot because I actually don't have the result for if I close the strands. So this is my subject. And I want to tell you that, in fact, flat virtual long knot, so I have virtual long knot mapping into flat virtual long knot. And since I'm long, the skeleton strand is long, there's a notion of earlier and later. There's an orientation of the strand. Okay? And so I can map my flat virtual knots back into a subset of virtual knots by saying that for each equivalence class where you know they differ by the crossing. So for each of that class of crossing, I map it, so this is sort of any real crossing, I map it back into a descending crossing. Descending just means that the over is always earlier. Okay. And I can only do that if I cannot do it if my knot is round. Okay. And also you might think, well, I might want to choose to say, oh, map any real crossing, because in flat knots I have only real and virtual. So if I map any real crossing to say a positive crossing, then in fact that will be defined for virtual round knots as well. But actually that is not a well-defined map, because the randomizer relations here, if I choose all the things to be positive, it doesn't map here. Okay. So, and this is identity. So I know that this is equivalent to the subset of descending long knots. So from now on, because I want to make my pictures easier to draw, I'm just going to always talk about descending long virtual knots. Okay. So what is the result? The result is that we actually have a classification of flat virtual long knots. So namely, flat virtual long knots are in bijections with the set of canonical diagrams defined below. A canonical diagram is a virtual knot diagram where my strand goes through over once, and then after a point, when it goes through any crossing, it is always under. Okay, so here I always mark red as the over strand and blue as the under strand. So in general, if you just draw a virtual long knot, descending virtual long knot, you might have red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, red, blue. Okay, but the But the canonical diagrams is exactly the ones which have only one red interval and one blue interval. And on top of that, I have to only take a subset of these guys. Namely, I cannot allow any bigons. Well, so I have randomizer too. I want to make it simpler by always getting rid of bigons. So these are my canonical diagrams. You can insist to write it in symbols. If you write it in symbols, then it would be the set of signed permutations, because clearly this, you know, the red strand goes through the crossings in one order, the blue strand go through the crossings in one order. You have a permutation, and you have signs for the crossings. So if you write it as symbols, then these are just exactly signed permutations where a certain subset is not allowed, because you don't allow bigons. Okay, and it's exactly the fact that if you have sort of subsequent numbers cannot be mapped to subsequent opposite signed pairs. Okay, so this is my this is the classification, and of course, what I just said, I did not actually mod up by R1, but you could, and then you just get rid of also sort of isolated quarks. Okay, so. So first of all, some remarks, and then I'll tell you that actually, once you made the guess, which actually Jor made the guess, then it is not really hard to prove. It is a surprising thing that we can classify this object. I want to say topologically, flat virtual knots are immersed curves on orientable surfaces, modulo Riedemeister moves on the surface, and also modulo adding and removing empty handles. Okay, virtual descending long knots. If you try to write down the Roentgen presentation for a fundamental group, they are all trivial. So this class of objects, if I just sort of forcefully write down a fundamental group for it, they will all be just set. Okay, so there's no this is different from what Philippe was talking about yesterday. I can generalize this result easily to multiple strands, which I call pure tangles. So multiple strands just means that the Gauss diagrams now have multiple skeleton strands, and I don't have any closed loops, and I distinguish the strands by having them labeled. Okay. Now, if I can generalize to multiple strands, then maybe I can say something about braids. So I can use this result to as invariants for virtual long knots or virtual pure tangles, clearly. At the same time, I could also use it as an invariant for the flat virtual braid group, which has the presentation given by this, where sigma I, so it's generated by sigma ij, you've seen it already. I has to be different from j, but I does not have to be smaller than j. Okay, so it's different from the pure usual pure braid. And then the relation there, the first relation there is essentially Riedemeister free move, but you can also see that this is exactly the quantum Yang-Baxter equation. The second one is just that you could, if the crossings don't interact, you could switch the order. And the last one is what makes it flat. Okay. So these are my generators. And if I and J are far away, then I could just put strands, sort of parallel strands in between, and everything crossing it is virtual. Okay. And since the classification goes for pure tangles, I can use it as invariants of braids. And my conjecture is that flat braids actually inject into flat pure tangles, in which case, if I can show that, then I also have a normal form for this group, where the normal form actually doesn't have, is not a word in the original alphabet of the group. Okay, so so just a statement about the proof. So the proof is pretty simple. It's essentially, I want to find a canonical representative for each equivalence class. So I try to look for parameters on it and also sorting moves on this space such that the sorting move will bring something of higher order to something of lower order. So the sorting always decreases. And then the main bulk of the proof should be that when you sort, somehow at the end the result is unique. Okay. And the moves that, so what are the parameters that I put on the space of descending virtual null diagrams? Is the main, the important sort of unobvious parameter that you should put on is actually the number of blue-red intervals. Okay, so if you generally draw a descending virtual knot, then you always start with red because it's a descending knot. So, and then every time you have a red and then followed by a blue, you count that as one illegal interval. Okay, and then so thick bands just mean a whole bunch of crossings. And I have a sorting move, which I call the group finger move, which exactly decreases this number of illegal intervals. Okay, and so you can see that if I have a whole bunch of strands on top and a whole bunch of strands below, if I yank all of these guys, then I have just sort of decreased the number of blue-red by one, because I switch blue-red to red-blue. Okay, the cost is that my diagram become more complex. So in general, my canonical, if you give me a descending virtual knot and I sort it, my number of crossings might increase a lot. Okay. Okay. So the third page of your handout is sort of the main, sort of a main ingredient of the proof.
Control minus?
Yes. I have to show that if I have a diagram where I have two ways of doing this group finger move, that somehow in the end I get the same result. So I need to use the diamond lemma, which says, so if I have a diagram, I sort it by one way, I sort it by another way, I get to another diagram. Okay, and when I sort, so if this is already in my induction hypothesis region, right, because when I sort, I decrease my parameter by one, then if I can show that every time I have two ways of doing it, I have a move on the result of this this sorting and a move from the result of this sorting, and that they go to the same thing. And since I'm already in the hypothesis domain, then this means that they already all go to the same diagram. So all I need is to find such diamonds. Okay. I mean, not find such diamonds, I have to have all of the diamonds. And so the main diamond that I have here is that if you start at the top cross thing, this diagram, this sort of portion of the diagram, I can definitely do the group finger move either on the vertical rectangle or on the horizontal rectangle. So like if I do the vertical, then I yank all of those red below, so then I get to here, so because I yank all of those, okay? And then if I do the horizontal, I yank all of the red to this side, okay? And the main thing is that now if I yank all the red vertically, then I get all of these guys. And here I still have the other group finger move where I can yank this red band sort of across to here. Okay. Okay, so this is the main diamond. Okay, so next, I want to tell you. So this is my object. So next, I want to tell you about the associated graded space. So it's the space of arrow diagrams. So we want to figure out what is the target space of a universal finite type invariant, and we have low algebra on this associated graded space. Namely, we have that tensor map if you give me any Lie bi-algebra, so for virtual. But I think Joel might talk about that tomorrow. Okay, and so what is my associated graded space? At least what is a candidate of the associated graded space is the space of arrow diagrams, where now my green quartz is the sort of semi-virtual, it's the dotted arrows, and modulo this six-term relation. How do I get this six-term relation? So, right, so if you, the six-term relation comes from R3. R3 says, so if you expand each of the real crossing of R3 by making it the semi-virtual plus the virtual, then I get eight terms after you cancel the ones which are all virtual. Okay, after you cancel all the lowest order terms, which is, you know, if you don't have any semi-virtuals or the linear term which have one semi-virtuals, then what you're left with is exactly this this combination. And so I have that this, if I just take the lowest order terms and model by higher semi-virtuals, then I get a quadratic relation, which, if I rewrite, is exactly the 6T relation. Okay. And if I take this space and mod out by all 6T relations, meaning any linear combination of six terms where I plant the three strands of the relation on my skeleton, and then add chords to it the same way to the six terms. So if I model by any of those, and I want to find a basis, then in fact there is a basis, and it is a very nice basis. The basis is that it's basically all the basis element. Basis element is a skeleton strand with a point where before that all my arrows are outgoing, and after that all my arrows is incoming. And that's clearly in one-to-one correspondence with the symmetric group elements. So so some comments. Okay, so clearly at degree k, the dimension is k factorial. Again, I can find the basis with the same method for multiple strands. And in fact, we can consider flat virtual long knots with modulo different subsets of Rydermeister moves. So before we have talked about modding out only by my Rydermeister 2 and 3 without Rydermeister 1. But in fact, you could also separate, you can also distinguish Rydermeister 2s into two types, both. You could distinguish them into the type where there's a cycle in the middle, okay, or which we call R2 cyclic, and the other type, which is R2, which I don't have a cycle in the middle, okay. And the set of Rydermeister moves generated by just the braid-like Rydermeister 2 and 3s is actually a proper subset of those which are everything. Okay. So, in fact, what I told you just now, is the associated graded space not of flat virtual long knots modulo all rhytomizer 2 and 3, but actually just modulo braid-like rhytomizer 2 and 3. Okay, but for the other ones, I also get a basis. I also understand it. Okay, so also, we definitely have an algebraic structure here because I can concatenate the strands and then rewrite and use the six-term relation to rewrite the result as basis, as linear combination of basis elements. So we have algebra here, which as vector space is the same as the group ring of the symmetric group, but then actually it has a different, at least I cannot show that it looks very, very different algebraic structure. If I consider horizontal chords only, so if I have n strands and have only horizontal chords, I can also use the same method to find a basis for it. And since the basis injects into this basis, then I can show that actually the horizontal chord diagrams actually inject into non-horizontal chord diagrams, which I could not show at the braid level, at the sort of topological level. Okay. The idea of the proof is sort of, it's pretty much the same as before at the global level, but just a bit more complicated. So it's a generalized, basically you do the same kind of sorting, and you want to show that your sorting result is unique. Okay, and the main ingredient that you need is that you need to define a partial ordering on your set of diagrams, which is respected by adding chords. So if D1 is bigger than D2, then if you add a chord to both of them in the same way, then the result should still be this is bigger than this. So you need a partial ordering such which is respected by adding chords. And you need this ordering to give you unique leading terms in your 6T relation, and also unique leading terms in these relations among relations. But whatever, there's some ordering that you need to put on so that the whole whole starting argument works. So what is my leading term? My leading term is this first one. The first one, if you draw it horizontally, it looks like this. Okay, if the left has to be always over. And I want to sort it by always getting rid of, if you have a diagram where you have an incoming arrow first and then outgoing, then you don't allow that. So then I replace any diagram with such a combination by the rest of the terms which don't have it, then clearly, I mean, you keep doing that, clearly you can show that this set of diagrams span your space. And to show that your basis is actually linearly independent, you need, again, sort of some diamond like before, but now the diamond is in sort of more complicated form, and it's this relation among relations. And what does this say? So if the six-term relation, those six terms, I just write it as a symbol to denote where the strand is ending, then I need to sum over all ways of putting the six-term relation. I have four ways of putting where the legs of this relation is. And then for the remaining strand, I add a chord which starts from the remaining strand and can end here, here, or here. Okay. So in total, I will have actually 24 terms here. Okay. And this is sort of a main ingredient why the basis is a basis. Okay. So the last thing I want to say is that the space is the chord diagram space is the associated graded space of the long virtual nodes. So how do I show such a thing? So I need to. So what Dror has been telling us is, how do you show that as sort of the chord diagram space is the associated graded space? Is by using a universal finite typing map. Okay, but maybe I could not construct one. Then actually there is another way to do it is to check a sufficient condition. So what is the sufficient condition? Actually, it should be on here. Let me. How do I? Sorry. How could I switch to another window?
Well, you close this one or.
Oh, escape.
And now look at the bottom.
Okay. Okay. So,
You're welcome to. Well, okay.
Okay, so the question is, I have a chord diagram space, which is arrow diagrams modulo 60. Is it actually the associated graded space of my Gauss diagram space modulo Rademeister 2 and 3? So what is the criterion that we need to satisfy, which will guarantee that this is true, is if, okay, so I have the K space and the A space, and they're both quotients of arrow diagram spaces, arrow signed diagram spaces. If I have a presentation of the K space like that, so diagrams modulo finitely many relations, and I have A space, which is presented like this, where the relations are those that are induced by the relations at the for k, okay. So for example, the 60 was the pi of R3. Okay. If I have two such presentations, I only need to check one thing for me to know that actually the A is the Gur of the K. This criterion is hard to check in general, but for me it is not hard because I already have a Grobner basis. It is not hard. Okay. So what is the criterion? The criterion is that is done by Paul Itzelsky, Vishik Hutching, which my academic brother used in his thesis and sort of rephrased for virtual braids, first case. So for me, I'm applying this to long, flat, virtual knots, not associative algebra. Okay, so I think I don't understand this enough to actually tell you very precisely what it is, but I thought I did, but then just now I started being confused. But the sort of spirit is that if you have any relation among relations at the A level, relations among relations meaning exactly something that looks like a linear combination of those relation symbols. So, right, so the thing that I had just now. A whole bunch of sum of this. So this is just as an example. Sum over always Okay, so you have a linear combination of relation symbols, which when you actually plug in what the relations are, evaluate to zero. Okay. Okay, so if I actually put in all the six terms relations, term by term, they all cancel out. Okay, so if you ever have such a relation among relation at the core diagram level, and if you can show that each of those is induced by a relation among relation at the knot level, at the K level, then your A is Ger of K. Okay, so in general, what is hard is not the fact that a relation among relation, you can find it is induced at the global level, but what is hard is to actually find all the relation among relations that you have. So I can do this for flat virtual pure tangles. I think it can be done for usual braids, but I don't think anyone know about all the relations among relations for usual knots. So for usual chord diagrams modulo 40, I don't think we know whether we know all the relations among relations. So if you can show that your space satisfies this criterion, then you know it is true. Okay, so I just want to finally show that where that 24 term relation come from. It's from this pretty minus. Okay. So the CZG, the relation among relation of the sixth term, of the 6T relation that is on your handout, actually comes from, at the knot level, this this bunch of 8 R3s, which goes back to the same place. Okay, and so basically I have a half twist, and I pinpointed the red crossing and the blue crossing, and each R3 is going to bring my red crossing clockwise around the blue, and also the blue around the red. And if you sort of put your two fingers on the red and blue, then you go around. It's exactly 8 Rademeister 3 moves. And if you actually expand this and take the lowest order terms of this, then you get exactly those 24 term relations that you get. Okay. And all I need to check was that this is true. And for the other cases, if I model by Rademeister cyclic moves, that I also have, I also know all the syzygies, and I also know that it lifts to the global level. I want to at least tell you that it is not always simple. I want to tell you a counterexample. So if, and then I'll be done. So this is found by Dror and in his BH and Eva in their paper that, so if I only take knot diagrams, Gauss diagrams. Modulo only Rademeister 2 moves, but I have two kinds: the cyclic kind and the braid like kind. And so, if I take this, and if I take the corresponding candidate Ger. Okay, this is my candidate for being the Ger of this. So just sort of semi-virtual. So the space then by semi-virtual chords. Sorry, diagrams with only semi-virtual chords. But I have two kinds because I have the positive and minus. And then both of these guys induce the same relation, which is that the plus is equal to minus of the minus. Okay. Because at the degree one level they don't they're not the same. But then, actually, this is not the girl of this. Okay, this is a simple space, but actually, we might have missed a relation. Because if you are in the virtual world, this going to this, this is one R2, this is R2B. But of course, I could actually do this, which has a virtual here, okay? And now there is a cycle. Okay, so if you look at now if you just look at the relation which brings this to this guy, then at the code diagram level, the lowest order actually would look like this is equal to this. Which is what happens when you check this criterion and it fails. Okay, so you actually have missed a higher order relation. Okay, so this is a counterexample. Sorry, it was a mess. But thank you for listening.
I suppose we're meeting again at...